Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Corinthians. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Because we're starting in a new kind of portion of 1 Corinthians, I wanted to not read the scripture this morning because really we have to do a little bit of a background on this. So before we get into the entirety of chapter 12, we're just going to kind of work our way through it, probably not at the light speed record that we normally travel, but we're going to move a little bit slower than that, I guess, today. But I want to just kind of develop this a little bit before we break into this, because I think there's sometimes a lack of understanding about God's desire to reveal himself to us on an ongoing basis as believers and for the Spirit to continue to minister to us and work through us. And so I wanted to set some of that up. But before I do, I wanted to remind you about what's happening in 1 Corinthians. You remember Paul in the first six chapters, just for outline kind of comprehension's sake, you remember he wanted to talk to them about things that were concerning him regarding them. Remember, they were divided where they should have been connected and united together. You remember that's the first four chapters, and then the next two chapters, chapters 5 and 6, they were kind of unwound where they should have been connected. It just was kind of, both sides of that were kind of opened up for us, and Paul's concerns about that. Then we hit chapter 7, and Paul begins to answer through chapter 16, through the conclusion of 1 Corinthians. He begins to answer questions that the Corinthian church had, that he had written to Paul, and he had questions for them, and he wanted to begin to respond to those questions and answer those questions. Chapter 7 was marriage and singleness. Chapters 8, 9, and 10 was the liberties or freedoms we get to enjoy as Christians. Last week in chapter 11, we talked about the order of things within the church and how we fit into that order and the organization that God has designed. God says do all things, but decently and in order. God's just a God of order. It's not random. It's not just the big explosion that took place that put all this together. God has a master plan and a design on how it all fits together. And he wanted us to understand how certain things fit in to the body of Christ and how the church was to work, which really sets us up for chapters 12, 13, and 14 as we kind of get into the spiritual gifts, the operation of the spirit realm in the ministry as far as the church, the body of Christ goes, even through this day. And then chapter 15, the resurrection of the dead, and chapter 16, offering and giving and so on. So chapter 12, as we get started. Some interesting things as we first get started with this. We're going to back up in just a second to read another portion of scripture out of chapter 10. Where we kind of got another mention like this. But let me read just the first verse. You can read with me in chapter 12. Now concerning spirituals or spiritual gifts. The gift, you can see in your Bible, a lot of your Bibles, you see gifts is kind of in italics. It's an addition to help us to understand the basic context of what Paul is saying. So it's been added there to kind of help us to understand, but it would originally just read, now concerning spirituals, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, I hadn't heard that term a whole lot until a number of years ago when I moved out into Southwest Missouri. And I don't know, that word just gets used a little bit more frequently down there. And it's usually in somewhat of a derogatory way. I would ask a question on a project or something. They'd look at me, what are you, ignorant? You know, I think, wow, I guess. I thought it was a legit question. But anyhow, the idea is here, Paul's not saying it derogatory. He's saying it really in a very positive way. He goes, I don't want you to be unawares or uninformed about spirituals, about how the spirit realm, how the Holy Spirit works within the body of Christ. They've got questions about it, legit questions. Their questions aren't different really probably than a lot of our questions. They, in their day, had the same kind of things that we have circulating. The things that people would say about, well, you know, my cousin's sister, you know, she one time, you know, opened herself up to the Spirit, and, you know, she was just blaspheming in the church service, you know. Now, if you ever noticed this, it's interesting. It's very detached. It's never firsthand information. Think about that. It's never, it's always detached, third, fourth, fifth party out of how that happened. And I really think we want to be open to the Lord. We want to be open to the Spirit. We want to hear from His Word and His heart. We want to know what God would desire for us. I don't think there's any person here that if I asked for a show of hands and we said, hey, who doesn't want, I mean, you know, or who does want, I should say, in a positive, who does want all of what God has for them? I don't think there's, everybody's going to stick their hand. We all want all that God has for us. And so there's got to be an openness to God. God doesn't move exactly the way we move, and God doesn't think exactly the way we think. That's why we've got His Word to show us some of these things. Paul starts off, hey, I don't want you to be ignorant about these things or uninformed. No different than today, I believe it's very likely that they had the same kind of fears, that if you open yourself up to certain things like this, you might be overtaken, because it's the spirit realm, by a demonic force. Well, just turn quickly with me, just before we get too far into this, turn quickly with me to Luke's account, chapter 11. And there will be other things that will help us to understand this also, but Luke chapter 11, verse 13 makes a pretty clear statement to us regarding this thought. If you then being evil, speaking of all of humanity, and it was all regarding asking from the Lord and receiving things from the Lord, he says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. And remember, he's talking about if your child asks for, if your son asks for bread from the father, you know, would he give him a stone? If he asked for a fish, would you give him a serpent instead of a fish? You know, and the thought here as Jesus is saying this, goes on and says, if you then being evil, you know, you're just natural people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? If you ask, God's not going to allow you to be overtaken with some demonic force. There's a couple things that happen. A Christian, someone who's been born again, someone who's given their life to the Lord, someone who's given their life to the Lord has been sealed with the Spirit of promise. God comes into the believer's life and indwells them, and they are sealed with the Spirit, marked out in the spirit realm, stamped, put in there with like a signet mark on them, saying, hey, this is in the spirit realm, this belongs to me. We as Christians, if we've given our lives to the Lord and we profess Christianity, we've been sealed, marked out in the realm of the Spirit. We belong, we are a possession until we arrive to our destination. They understood all this. It made great sense to them. They knew what an insignia ring looked like. They knew what the wax seal was on the package. And the servant was out going, caring for the master's goods, getting things from a distant land, and would mark out. And it would stamp that crate or whatever it was, and it would say that that belonged to his master until it got to its ultimate destination. See, you and I look, that's the way it is in the realm of the Spirit. You got this mark on you that says you belong to God. I belong to God as a Christian. Now, if we belong to God, then it's not possible that a house can be divided. In other words, you can't then be possessed by a demonic spirit. You can be oppressed, you can be harassed. There's a lot of stuff that can go down in your life, believe me. But you cannot be possessed because you are already the possession of another. It's inconsistent, it's not possible, it doesn't happen. And that's an interesting truth to know. And if we ask God for His Spirit, He's not going to give us something different than His Spirit. So, there were a few other things. This is like, sideline note. Just something. This is just an FYI interesting thing to tuck away, and I would mark these down. I did, because I think they're very interesting. This is one of five interesting things that you and I are not to be ignorant or unaware or uninformed about. There's five that Paul marks out in Scripture. You can go back with me just a page or so. My Bible, it's just a page, to chapter 10, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 10, 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware or ignorant that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea. Paul is making the statement here, hey, I don't want you to be uninformed about the typology that, or the types of things relating to the person of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament examples and things that we saw. He says, I don't want you to be uninformed. All of these things are pointing back to Jesus. They aren't just simple little fun stories, but there's a reason for them, and they point back. And how now? Through unfortunate liberal theology, we end up with this kind of thought process. And I always marvel at those kind of things because of the fact that, oh, wow, you know, they talk about the Egyptian. This is my favorite one. Some of you have heard this before, but I got to repeat because I think it's funny. The idea of the Egyptian army, they're chasing after Moses and the nation Israel, and they're just about to overtake them. Now, Moses gets out his staff, led by the Lord. He touches the Red Sea. The Red Sea parts. You guys know this happened. We've watched the Ten Commandments. You know what went down. You know how he just touched it, you know, and the water heaps up and they just kind of cross. But the Bible declares that that's what happened. And you know what? I'm just foolish enough to believe that. You know, if the creator of the universe can step out of the eternal realm and into space and time and come to this earth and be embodied in the form of humanity, and then suffer on the cross and die for my sin and your sin, to pay the price that you and I might have relationship with the Father. I'm cool with the Red Sea heaping up. If you get through Genesis 1:1, everything else is pretty easy too, isn't it? God created. Man, you look around you at all that God created, the heavens and the earth and all the things contained therein. You get over that hurdle, you're home free. You know, if you believe that, everything else is pretty basic. So they cross through, the water heaps up, they cross through. Then all of a sudden they turn back, the water kind of, before it kind of closes back in, the whole Egyptian army chases in after them. The only thing that happened is God wasn't with them, and the water just covered over them. Now, other than that, we get into liberal theology, and they say, well, you know, it's kind of a fanciful story, and they explain how, you know, there's this land bridge, and they really crossed on this land bridge, and a certain time of year, the waters got out there, and they just kind of meandered through, and it was more marshy and stuff, and they just kind of made their way through it. That's fine for the nation Israel. Okay, that's cool. But the whole Egyptian army drowning in, like, ankle-deep water or something? You see, that's what happens when we get our minds busy trying to figure all of the nuances and the excellencies and the awesomeness of the creator of the universe, and we don't just accept certain things by faith. I think it's wonderful. I think it's fascinating. And Paul just is saying, hey, don't be ignorant or unaware. Those things are pointing to other things. Go back to Mount Moriah. Go back to Mount Moriah. Calvary, Golgotha, the place of the skull. Just outside of Jerusalem, where Jesus is led up to be sacrificed. But go back years, years, years earlier, and you see a story that gives us the types of the Father and the Son. As Abraham is going up with Isaac, as the Father, Heavenly Father, tells Isaac, take thine son, thine only son. It wasn't his only son, was it? He had another, but it was the only son of promise, the miraculous, the one that really shouldn't even exist but does. And he said, you take that son, thine only son. And then Isaac, 30-some years old, he's going with dad. He could easily overtake dad. Dad's 100 and something by now, you know? But out of obedience, all of a sudden, knife comes up. Hey, dad, so cool, we got the wood, we got the fire, we're ready to, you know, do the sacrifice. But where is the sacrifice? God himself will be the sacrifice. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. You see, all those things are to show us in beautiful, wonderful, awesome word pictures. Don't be ignorant or unaware that that's showing us something of a grander scale of what's to come in the person of Jesus Christ. Then we just hit this one in chapter 12, the second one, of how God moves in his spirit, spirituals, how God works in the realm of the spirit. Don't be ignorant regarding that or unaware or uninformed. That was your second one. And then 1 Thessalonians 4:13. You'll probably find it easier and you can say it. But I do not want you to be, are you guys reading along? 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I do not want you to be, somebody found it, ignorant, correct. I don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, or ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. It's the beginning of this whole area where he starts to unfold the rapture of the church that we would understand. But again, this is another area of limited information. It's not limited in the Bible, just limited of the scope of comprehension. Again, some of these things I know when you read through them, you think, well, how does this really play out? And we got to watch and wait and let God work it out. Chapter 2, verse 11 of 2 Corinthians, he says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. His man won't want you to be ignorant about Satan's devices and how he does things. Again, these are all areas that just pop up. 2 Corinthians 2:11. And then Romans, this is the last one, the fifth one. Romans 11:25. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And he spends all this time talking about the nation Israel and how they fit into the big picture in our world today. Now, so the future of Israel, its place in world history, is part of what Paul is talking about. Interesting to me that all five of those areas that he says, hey, I don't want you to be uninformed, I don't want you to be ignorant of these things, are all areas that we see within the church as areas of struggle and issue. And it's just fascinating to me that Paul says, hey, I don't want you to be uninformed about this. So sometimes we got to peel back a little bit and just go into, hey, let's get simple. Let's not simple-minded. Let's get basic, though. Let's get just to the core of the heart and mind of God. Say, God, what would you want to import into our lives? Because you don't want us to be uninformed of spirituals or how God's spirit might move and how he might want to work within the body of Christ today. So we get to our time today, and that was just the first part of the introduction. Exciting stuff, though. I do find this to be one of, actually, I like all of it, but this is one of my favorite things to discuss. I had a buddy, a guy, his name's Chumno. I share about Chumno once in a while. But Chumno's from Cambodia. He lives in that area that we know as like the killing fields. And he grew up there. He's probably, I would say, in his very early 40s, maybe older. It's hard for me to tell. They're good-looking people, and they age well. So I'm not real sure exactly how. He may be an old guy like me. I'm not sure. But he grew up during all of this oppression and all this stuff that had gone on. And he started this ministry, and he ministers to people dying from HIV, which is just erupting all through there. I mean, it's just unbelievable. There's nothing that he can do medically or anything. It's just a ministry to help care for them as they're leaving this earth. And he's trying to minister and give them, you know, Jesus and share Jesus with them. So he creates these little care centers. He's got them dotted all over this part of the country down there. And he was at this like missions thing with us one time, and we kind of broke away afterwards. And there were several of us there that were from the States, and then some guys from scattered from different parts of the world. And one of the things we were standing around talking, and we're going to just about to have some prayer, and he wanted to talk for a minute. So he speaks decent English, and he just goes, "Hey, you know, something's missing." You know, he's been a Christian a long time. He's got these awesome ministries going and stuff, and he just goes, "There's something really missing." He goes, I can't really explain it. He goes down these things, and all of a sudden, you know, all our antennas go up. We know what he's talking about. Because people have been talking about the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And he was not really informed about any of that. He'd never been taught any of that. He wasn't familiar with any of that. And so we just shared with him briefly, it was like a few minutes along, just a little brief study. "No, I know I need that. That's what I need." The task out in front of us oftentimes is enormous. And we need the power of his Spirit to come upon us in order to do what he would want us to do. So we just laid hands on him, prayed for him. He's filled with the Spirit, went back, and his ministry is just prolific now. He communicates back with us. Oh, he can't even explain the change because he was trying to do everything he could, but it was limited energies in comparison to his dependency on the power of the Spirit moving through his life. Wonderful, wonderful truths. So we don't want to be uninformed about spirituals. Paul says in verse 2, "You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make it known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed." That kind of ties into where we started, doesn't it, a little bit? That's interesting, isn't it, how that happens? "Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus cursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." You can't say from your heart that Jesus is Lord. You can't say that from your heart unless you've been born again. It's just words. It's nothing. But when you say it and it's from your heart, it's not possible. He says, no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. It's not going to happen. We have such peace in that. We have such encouragement. And isn't it great that that same kind of thing must have been circling around in their groups, you know, years ago, and the enemy would want that to prevent us from going forward when we want to raise our hand and say, "Yes, I want more of God. I want God to use me into the fullest that he possibly can." Wonderful, wonderful truth. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. I know as you've been listening to the word today that God may very well be speaking to many of you. And maybe some of you just need to come back to the Lord. Maybe some of you need to give your life to the Lord who've never given your lives to the Lord. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, Jesus said that calling out to those who are burdened with the things of life. And Jesus wants us to come alongside with him. He is gentle and lowly in heart. And that's where we're going to really find rest for our souls. It's a simple prayer of faith. And I just want to pray this simple prayer along with you. So if you just want to pray this, whether you're driving or whether you're sitting at home or wherever you are, you might be in your office, you might have this coming on through your earbuds, but the Lord wants to make himself known to you and for you to have a personal relationship with him. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a personal relationship. And it starts by just saying yes to Jesus and giving your life to him. "Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I want to give my life to you. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. I want to cast all my cares upon you, knowing that you care for me. And I know that, Lord, I feel weighted down and burdened by the things of this life, and I just want to have that newness of life. And so I ask that you'd come into my life and be my personal Lord and Savior. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior into my heart, and I ask that you would just continue that work that you've begun in my life right now. And I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen."
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you.
You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And if you're social media savvy, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes store now, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings. The service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.
Jesus, come.